Hey guys, it's the Ghost. Did you know that Colorado has quite the history? Nearly 125 years ago, geologists discovered dinosaur remains. That's in the Garden Park fossil area, and that's just north of Canyon City, if you're familiar with the area. If not, look it up. The three Stegosaurus skeletons date back to the prehistoric age. These discoveries are one of Canyon City's claims to fame. They are not, however, the only bones buried inside the city. Today, we are going to look at the Abbey of the Holy Cross in Canyon City, Colorado. The Abbey of the Holy Cross. It's located within Canyon City's boundaries, and it has a unique spiritual past. The cemetery is home to hundreds of Benedictine monks who lived there from 1928 all the way to 2005. With private investment companies perpetually developing these sacred lands, their souls might never be able to rest. Let's get into some history. The Abbey of the Holy Cross started in 1886 when two Benedictine monks left La Trobe, Pennsylvania, and they left to establish a monastic community in Colorado. So this guy, Joseph, he's a member of the American Roman Catholic Missionary and the first bishop of Denver. He invites them as the apostolic for Colorado and actually Utah. And after originally settling in Boulder with the Priory of St. Mary, other monks from various territories, they started to arrive. Now, in 1924, the community outgrew the original settlement, and this forced the monks out of where they were and down to Canyon City, where there was plenty of space. The Roman Catholic Church purchases the Fruitmare Orchards, which is orchards that are over 90 acres, and it's undeveloped land. Upon the completion of a larger Gothic Revival-style monastery and a couple of other minor buildings, the land parcel was granted the title of Abbey. The Abbey, originally named Holy Cross, was completed in 1925, but ended up costing roughly three times the original estimate, which was, get this, only $200,000. They did end up needing extra money, but they got that from other abbeys. Okay, well, this abbey served three primary functions throughout all its years, all overseen by monks. There was the boys' school, created by the first abbot father, and this was meant to prepare children for high school. They had the Holy Cross College and Seminary, and that helped students decide whether God called them to serve as part of His church through priesthood or maybe brotherhood. Camp Holy Cross provided boys ages 8 to 14 a community in which to grow and develop their faith. Well, after prospering in the 50s and the 60s, the boys' school, Holy Cross College and Seminary, and Camp Holy Cross, they closed. That was in 1985. The community grew from 35 students back in 1928 to 250 students by 1972, but enrollment quickly declined in the late 70s and early 80s. This ultimate collapse caused the abbey to abandon plans for a grand cathedral, an electrical plant, a football stadium, and other buildings. Approximately 20 elderly monks did continue to live in the abbey until it eventually closed entirely in 2005, and then it was sold in 2007. Okay, so what's up with this place? Well, the elderly monks allowed the property to be developed for wine production, and the winery at Holy Cross Abbey is still open today. Each year, annual events such as the Harvest Festival, the Winemaker's Dinner, Farm to Table Fun Run, and other things, they are still held there, and it makes people happy. Even every Halloween, the Boy Scouts organize a haunted house event in the basement for cheap thrills and laughs. However, with a graveyard on site, perhaps not all the spine-tingling frights come from the actors that are dressed up in costumes. Some will say, some will absolutely say, that there are still dark spirits that remain at the Abbey. The construction of the Abbey of the Holy Cross was very difficult, and it was also dangerous. But mainly, the work was done by prisoners. So it was unlikely that on-site deaths were actually reported correctly. The possibility of a prisoner's spirit being trapped inside the Abbey, well, they were forced to build over any remains. So they couldn't really consider that. Post-production, the Abbey served as living quarters for hundreds of people. It housed the sick and the elderly in an on-site infirmary, and many monks were buried in the cemetery that was there. That's behind the sister's house. It's all surrounded by green space, but it looks really good, right? But it hosts an eerie aura after that sun goes down. So besides the prisoners, though, what else is there? We have prisoners that could have died there. Anyone else? Well, the answer is actually yes. Among those buried in the Holy Cross Cemetery include four abbots. You have a Mr. Bradley, Schwinn, Antonioli, and Bonaventure Bandy. The first person buried in the cemetery was Father Strigmatter. That was back in 1938. Could one of these men still reside in the Abbey of the Holy Cross, watching over the spiritual land that recently did sell to a private investment group? That was in 2007. And get this, they put $200,000 into it. This thing sold for $11 million. So talk about upsetting the spirits. Certainly, this is not what the originators envisioned all the way back in 1928. Not that money is all bad, but with it comes a lot of change, doesn't it seem to? And sometimes, more often than not in the stuff that we look at, it does tend to upset those that might be trying to rest there. And change did happen here. Now a place of weddings and haunts and different things in that little town. They didn't want any paranormal investigators to go here. However, a little birdie told me that Zach Bagans will be there if he's not already. So that might be kind of interesting. Maybe he's the first one that's been allowed in. Either way, there are a lot of questions. People that work there will tell you, no doubt, these ghosts are real. And there is definitely unexplained activity, and people question this. Are some of the boys from the boarding school still there in the afterlife? How about some of those monks and even the nuns? People that work there have said that they're not bothered by the spirits, and in fact, they look at them as caretakers, monks checking in to make sure that everything is going smoothly, whatever it may be. And the hauntings continue. I mean, walk through the maze, you'll see dark corridors, you'll feel the spectral energy that continues to linger at this historic Abbey monastery. There are stories of spirits there, including a brother Mark, who was the leader of the Glee Club. Maybe he's still there. He used to sit up in the bell tower and play the organ in the afternoons. Today, there's an automated process for that. However, even with today's technology, sometimes there's a tune that plays not at the appointed time. It's as if someone else is playing them. It's not part of the automated process. And if you do go there, don't be surprised if you actually do run into apparitions of former monks that are spotted often wandering the halls. Oh, and there's a secret basement tunnel also. It connects the monastery to Ewilthorne Hall. This was used to discreetly cross between buildings. They did that a lot back then, didn't they? Today, the secret apparently is divulged by the spirits that remain there. Because even over all this time, it's in that tunnel where the darkest and heaviest reports of spectral activity have been documented. And well, like all things, you'll have to decide this for yourself. This abbey is getting more attention as of late. Why, I wonder? It is open for tours. You can go there on Halloween, so maybe it's a place that you can go and check it out for yourself, and then you can decide if it's actually haunted or not. Just know that people have done group seances and vigils there, and they've come out with good results. So maybe that helps us realize that there is something actually going on there. What do you think? And thank you for listening today. And until next time, I will talk to you all soon.